Secrets from a Coach. Thrive and maximise your potential in the evolving workplace. Your weekly podcast with Debbie Green of Wishfish and Laura Thompson-Staveley of Phenomenal Training. Debs.
Law, you all right?
Yeah, all the better for seeing you at the start of the week in flesh. How amazing was that, getting together as a team?
It was so lovely, wasn't it, to see the whole team together and being able to sort of collaborate on our diaries and just chatting and thinking about the work we've got coming up. It was just lovely.
Yeah, and hilarious. You know, it's just so funny to be able to, you know, kind of catch up. And as you said, just kind of collaborate. And what's interesting is I felt a real confidence boost as a result of being together as a team, because that energy and that chemistry, you just feel like you're less alone. There's more of you kind of than just the task and the pressure you're feeling in that moment. So it was a real confidence boost as well, as I kind of skipped away from our day together. So yeah, it was fantastic, which is of course a wonderful link to our focus for this episode, which is all about having the confidence to collaborate. So as part of our month's focus on the huge topic of confidence, which has always been useful for us in the world of work, regardless of the current working situation you're in, but more now so than ever before, when the world has got some difficult and challenging and adverse conditions around us, that ability to be able to either boost our own level of inner confidence, which we covered in last week's episode. Today is all about having the confidence to collaborate and work with others. The next topic we'll be looking at, what are the barriers or the challenges to being confident? We've then got a really exciting guest talking about the psychology of success and what that means from a confidence point of view. And what does it mean to be able to support and encourage others to be confident? So really great topic, this one, on this month. So collaboration and the confidence to collaborate. Debs, in your perspective, coaching all sorts of people in all sorts of different scenarios, how hot is the skill of collaboration right here, right now?
Oh, it's extremely hot at the moment, Laura. I was coaching somebody just this morning, actually, who has taken over a new team, and they have been working on a massive, massive project that comes to a bit of an end towards the end of this year, I believe. And therefore, to get the team to collaborate on that last little run-in to make sure it's completed has been something that they're working on really hard. So their ability to lead that team, because I think, you know, good collaboration starts with the leader as well and setting that tone for it. And we had a really good conversation about some of the things that they could do to enable the team to really feel one. And it's not about individuals within the team. It's all about just having the one team working together, which does, you know, the knock-on effect of that, I think, Laura, is the confidence that that team will give to the business about the fact that they're hitting their targets, they're driving their results, they're being seen externally as a great team working together to complete a massive, massive project. But that comes from the leader as well. So I think that was something I picked up from the coaching today. So how can we do it and do it well? It's really, really, really important at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, collaboration forms part of what I called the four C's, that was part of the TEDx talk that I did. Clang.
Which was amazing, Laura, I must say. And anybody who, before she carries on, anybody that wants to listen to it can still listen to it on the YouTube channel that you've got, can't they, Laura, about your TEDx talk?
They can. Yeah. They can see my TEDx talk. That's about a stone ago. So that's the pre-pandemic fighting weight at the time. So my goal at the moment is to get back into that dress that I wore for the TEDx talk. But hey-ho, you know, it's all about kind of steps forward, etc. However, what's interesting is, you know, if people have watched it since, I initially kind of had the thinking around the four C's, explain more in a moment, around the rapid introduction of automation and artificial intelligence. So I was barking up the wrong tree, but I was in the right forest. Little did we all know a pandemic was around the corner.
Yeah, that's true.
And actually those moments that we have in work that are highly difficult to automate, there's no algorithm under the sun that can outbeat us at those four C moments. And those four C moments are when we care, when we collaborate, when we're curious, and when we're creative together as a team. And the element about collaboration is a piece of software can absolutely read what is on a server, you know, and scan that in under a second, but it wouldn't have the wherewithal to think, I wonder what's on that other server over there. So someone sitting in their desk at work, working so hard at what they're doing, every now and then say, I wonder what the other team are doing that we could maybe work together on to save some time, save some hassle, just get some innovation and be able to think differently. That's a real human moment to think, I wonder what that tribe's doing over there that we can then learn from. And that's how we learn how, you know, that's how fire spread, isn't it? It's how we learn as humans right at the dawning of time. We didn't have books and TV to share knowledge. We shared knowledge by collaborating and working together, how we can then thrive and handle, you know, the world at large outside us. So those kind of four C's, they're highly difficult to collaborate, which means we've got to kind of think for ourselves in terms of opportunities to collaborate and work wider and do our working out loud more with people than sort of sitting there silently working in silos. Because the challenges and the problems that are awaiting for us around the corner aren't necessarily going to be dealt with by yesterday's way of thinking. You know, some of those ideas that worked well a number of years ago might need a bit of a refresh. And collaboration is such a quick way to be able to speed up generating ideas and different ways of working with each other.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that I heard a term the other day, actually, which was about community collaboration, which I really loved. I can't remember where I found it. So whoever it was, I apologise now. But that ability, as you said, to turn a team's knowledge into, if you like, banks of knowledge that we can tap into rather than having siloed working and where experts, if you like, are just working individually. Because, you know, when we look at what is collaboration, as you said, you know, it's that two or more people working together to complete a task and to achieve a goal so that we can move forward. And it's that shared responsibility, which I think is what's really important. But I quite like that, is that, you know, accumulation, as you said, of all the knowledge that a team can, of comprising of people that have got, you know, very, you know, diverse backgrounds, they've got certain strengths, they've got amazing skills, so that they can work together to, you know, to deliver on something, you know, with high productivity, the efficiency, as you said, rather than going, oh, I wonder what they're doing over there, and don't go and find out, and that speed. And I think it's that bit that if you really truly collaborate and work together, you can absolutely deliver some amazing results, I think. And I think it doesn't just apply to, you know, your work team. I think if you've got home team as well, you can apply the same thing. And even for your family or closest friends, the more you collaborate together to get something done, you know, people, I know a couple of people that are going on hen weekends and stag weekends at the moment because they're getting married at the end of April, but they've had to collaborate to make that work, right? And it's fun at the same time. So I think collaboration done right absolutely works, and we have to just think about what that means, because it's easier to collaborate and get it all sorted like we did on Monday together rather than just one person.
Yeah, too right. And I think there are so many commercial gains, you know, in terms of that, whether it is having the best hen or stag do on record, whether that's the win, or whether it is, for example, a team working with at the moment that have got a logistics arm, a product development arm, a marketing and PR arm. If each part of the business doesn't know what the other is up to or learns the wisdom that they are having to be exposed to, then actually you're missing a trick, because if it's a tweet that is telling you there's a logistics problem and your own logistics team has not collaborated with you to let you know internally, then, you know, then from a customer point of view, that can impact that, you know, that perception around how slick that brand is kind of internally. So there's so much newness that each individual department is having to deal with at the moment, that the benefits of collaboration, even if it is just a topping and tailing of the working week, just to listen to the news that everyone is kind of dealing with, means that you can, you know, work together on possible solutions rather than only finding out kind of by accident.
Yeah, definitely.
And a story that always sticks out to me, Debs, and oh, you could just feel the energy in the room shift when I was working with a shared services team in a local authority. And this was about 5 years ago, and it was a big town hall that I was facilitating for them. And it was the first time that all those different departments within that social services team had got together in one big room together. And the intent behind the director of the services was there's an opportunity for us to be able to collaborate. And he gave this amazing case study of, as a result of collaborating in a more efficient, effective way, they've been able to more than halve the amount of time it took to get a child through the adoption process. So where in the old days, before they'd looked at how we can collaborate better, it was taken about 2.5 years, Debs, to find a child a permanent home. That process was taking 2.5 years. And by actively focusing on collaboration, so what's the opportunity to work tighter and closer and more fluid with each other, they are able to drop that down to always almost around a year mark. Now, that is such a real world impact,
isn't it,
on a child in terms of being able to halve that time due to collaboration. Wow. So I thought that was a real wake-up call.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose with that, that team to work on that and recognise that that's the only way we're going to reduce that, is that bit around making sure they were cooperating well. So to have that cooperative spirit, so the want and need and desire to want to even collaborate, I think, is key. And also there has to be some level of mutual respect, I think, to know what skills people have got. I think that's what's really important as well when we're looking at collaboration. I think you have to mutually respect that, one, we don't know it all, so I wouldn't know it all, which is why we collaborate well together, because we're able to share that knowledge and be able to produce some amazing stuff for people, because we get some great feedback on it. And I think that's the bit. But I think it starts with you individually wanting to cooperate with others for the greater good. So it's not about you. It's your ego gets left at the door, as I always call it, because it is doing something for the team. So that, you know, and you see that in sports teams, and, you know, they all work together using their strengths, understanding who might not be as good in an area as they should be. So why would you put them in that area to fail? Put them in the area where they're going to succeed. And I think that's what's really important. That cooperative spirit with mutual respect is key to great collaboration, just as that team would have had to have done, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Where there was the, what is the greater win that we're going for here? It's not for each individual team to, you know, look better than the other. It's we want to find a child a happy home to give them the best outcome in life. And being able to then focus on that bigger, higher vision is, you know, kind of galvanizes everyone really to kind of get over themselves and get into what is that kind of higher intent that only through the strength of that wider team network are we able to achieve that? Now, us sort of listening in on this and having this conversation, there might not be such a compelling real world impact as finding, you know, a child an adoptive home. But certainly that buzz that we know teams experience when you're part of a team where we've kind of got each other's back rather than watching out for our own back.
Yes, absolutely.
It just means you can then kind of crack on and progress forward. And I think we've mentioned it before, but that abundance mindset as opposed to a scarcity mindset. So rather than me thinking, oh, right, well, if I share that idea with Debs, is she going to nick it and, you know, palm it off as her own? Which then me helping Debs out short term, which felt like the right thing to do, is actually, you know, am I now worried that I'm going to look less effective because you've now got my idea? And my mindset in that moment would be described, I guess, as a scarcity mindset. Luck is finite and it runs out. And if I give you a bit of luck, then potentially I'm kind of left behind. Whereas the abundance mindset is, listen, if you're the person that's got that idea and it happens to work, I trust you that you'll acknowledge that I might have had some involvement in all that. Yeah. If you win, we all win, because actually it's not through, we're all through into the next phase that we succeed as a team. And that abundance mindset, and you can see it, Debs, when it is a positive team-focused environment, then the highs and the lows are kind of balanced out because the team will lift you and then people aren't worried about watching their back because they know that everyone has got their back. So that scarcity versus abundance mindset, I know we've talked about it before, but you can see it really now in terms of that willingness to work with each other. And collaboration is that moment of truth. We've got a problem. Are we going to work out loud together? What does that mean in terms of solving that together?
Yeah, definitely. And I know when we've done some team exercises with, you know, people coming together for the first time and we've set them a challenge And we've had quite a lot of fun in getting people to think about the right order of things, or who's going to take control, and things from making sure you've got everything you need to be able to build a tower and get the support, and all those things you can do as part of these team builds games, which some people hate, but actually the lessons that come out of it are just amazing, because that gives people that sense of purpose. They know what they're doing. They know that by them doing their bit is going to help somebody else. So it's like passing the baton, isn't it? So knowing that you've done your bit really well means that the person is going to continue to do that really well. And that team celebration, the teamship, as we always call it, is just there. And you're right, it's so energetic and vibrant, and people are buzzing from it. We did it on Monday. We buzzed out of the place we were in, right?
Yeah. And if anyone is interested in having the banana baton exercise done with their team, not a dry eye in the house, it's hilarious. But the buzz you get from seeing that team performance evolution, of which collaboration is the only way that you're able to kind of smash that. And using the Formula One pit stop, I mean, as a visual kind of metaphor for what might have been a bit clunky, old processes. So in 1950s, a 67-second pit stop turnaround was considered world-class. And now, you've got amazing performance where they're able to do all that stuff in the pit stop almost around the one-second mark. And to look at that and think, right, if the Formula One team were to come in and look at how we work and how well we collaborate, what would their take be on that? And it sure is a mirror moment of where a team at that point typically will say things like, we've got to get tighter at communication. We've got to work out what each different part of our team, wider team, is up to so we can learn and collaborate. And practicing some time off the pitch to work out how we perform on the pitch and having that kind of time in. And so many people, Debs, have just been in this relentless schedule of productive work in that kind of virtual kind of world of work. It's interesting. I'd be interested to get your take on this. I've been picking up recently that, let's say in an organisation, it might be everyone goes in on a Wednesday or a Tuesday. There's just this culturally kind of chosen day where people are going into the office, and people then saying, all I do is talk. When I go in the office, all I do is talk. I don't get any work done. Yes. And it's this feeling of work is only work if you're there, nose to screen, fingers to keyboard. But actually, that sort of time together lifts people. And that's probably what is going to keep people in that role wanting to stay, because they feel connected to the people. Otherwise, it's just inboxes and teams' calendar appointments, which might have been effective and efficient in the short run. But I think what we're starting to see now, Debs, is in the long run, it has had some consequences. Our ability to be innovative, to be creative. It's that real reminder of it's tricky to be all of those things when you're sitting on your own in a remote working environment. That energy that comes from collaboration not only feels good in the moment, but commercially is probably worthwhile as well when you're thinking about the long term.
Yeah, I think, and you're spot on there, Law. And I love the fact that, we did that on Monday, right? We had a good old chat and we go, oh, maybe we should look at doing some work. But the power of the relationship and the connection again builds because of that ability to communicate. Actually, we did get loads done, even though we didn't quite realise it, which is always good. But again, it just improves that ability to deliver on things, because you're just having that two-way conversation, which is happening really, really quickly, which enables you to get the best out of that conversation. So I think, that turning up, showing up, and whilst you might be chatting, you are still working. It just, the buzz around you is going to create more of a feeling of euphoria, which enables you to go, yeah, I love that here. I'm going to continue to do it. So, and I think that's the bit we just need to watch for, because obviously some people are still working from home. So if you're leading that team, I think, again, as we said, lead a culture of collaboration, as we said earlier, begins with the leadership. So I believe that, the leader or the team manager that has a mix of people has to work really hard and making sure that when they do, they communicate exceptionally well. So they don't necessarily hold things back. They never withhold information from the people in order to let them carry out their necessary tasks. So, which actually enables them to maybe delegate some of the stuff they do because they like doing it, but actually, which is an opportunity for somebody else to grow, right? So they can absolutely reach out, communicate better, make sure the communication channels are open so that people feel part of that team, even though they're not in the physical space together. They can still collaborate on projects or work, or because the leader has set up that culture. They're not micromanaging, because that's like, does not help when we come to, it's the counterproductive when it comes to collaboration, but they're certainly making sure that their communication is spot on and everything else is there that enables the team to focus on what's important. And I think that's where it has to come from. Someone has to take the lead in that.
Mm. And I've been running a couple of team sessions this week where it's come out where the team is saying, we need to do more team building. We need to have more time with each other that just isn't these certain set meetings that are in the diary and then we kind of work silently around it. And actually you're saying about, you know, there might be people have different needs. So there are some people within the team that really miss out on that socialising, and others it's kind of less important. But you don't know what you're missing until you then experience, you know, you experience it. So there's a bit, there's surprise moments of people going, God, we had a really productive meeting, because the energy had been kind of right with that. And what was helping the team, this team in particular, to come up with some ideas is what we can borrow from other industries. So we work with industries, devs, that are highly operational. They are shift-based, uniform-wearing roles. And when you start your shift, you have a daily huddle or daily prayers or whatever that may be, where you then start the shift with, right, this is what's going on ahead. This is what's happened previously. And there's that real new paragraph starting that then encourages later collaboration and communication on within that shift. Now, there are some things that we can bring into more of an office environment. It depends what type of role that people have got. But there are these working practices that are custom and practice within some organisations that actually maybe other organisations could really speed up creating that culture of collaboration by thinking, well, how do other industries do it? And typically there'll be a starting of the day and an ending of the day. There'll be a we are on, so let's, you know, kind of stand up together. And then there's a right, you know, well done on the day that you've had. What might that mean moving forward? But creating that opportunity to huddle. Maybe it's a virtual kitchen that is set up on Fridays, or, you know, whether it is a drink at the end of the day on Thursdays. And one of the team was saying that there's another part of this business where the accounts team have this as a Friday regular get-together, and people really look forward to that Friday interaction, which is the reason why you have a team in the first place. We're
absolutely
safer and stronger together. And whether it's collaborating on catching up about what you're doing in your personal life, that then gives you the benefit a couple of weeks on where you're able to pick up the phone or pick up that contact and be able to create ideas together. So whether it's the big stuff, it's the small, it doesn't have to be some big formal team day that's put in. In fact, Dave, what we see is that the most effective, successful collaborative teams just have that time put in the diary, recurring meeting, and it's just time to be a team together, and the benefits start to come out over the first kind of couple of times. And speaking to anyone in HR at the moment, it certainly is work when you've got to fill a load of vacancies because everyone's left because they don't feel connected in any way to the team. So it might not feel like work in that moment because it might be enjoyable, but it certainly is work when half your team leave because they don't feel like they're part of a team. So could this now be a call to action that collaboration keeps also people bonded to their teammates as well?
Yeah, it's a good catch. And I think also about making sure that whatever people are working on as well, they have that opportunity to stop and think about what it is they're doing, to celebrate the success of a team as well, and to be able to think about where are we going to go with this, you know, so we can focus on the bigger picture maybe and that regroup and reset. And it does give you the confidence then when you're working as part of that collaborative team, because there's the mutual respect, you're in a confidence to be able to speak up in those moments and actually comes to the forefront, because the space that's being created is a really safe, non-judgmental, welcoming of diverse thoughts and ideas and opinions. And therefore you do feel more confident to collaborate because you know you're going to be valued, and it gives you that sense of purpose and worth that, yeah, you're a valued member of that team, whether it's just you and someone else or it's you and 50 other people, it doesn't matter. You still feel very much connected and part of it.
Love it, Debs. And in terms of the confidence to collaborate, I think riffing on that theme as well, collaboration is such a hot skill right now. You only have to scan CVs to see that everyone's putting the word collaboration or collaborative outlook on their CV. So we know it is a hot skill. Therefore, what a great way to then approach someone and say, working on this project, shall we collaborate on this? That would be a confident, assertive way to kind of interact and introduce with people in all different levels within an organisation, because that word collaboration is a really trendy word. So to use that as, you know, rather than pretending, can I borrow you for a moment, to actually be really overt with it. I'm working on this project. Shall we look at opportunities to collaborate? There aren't that many people that would go, no, I don't want to collaborate.
Yeah, that's
because it's not a good look right now, is it?
Yeah.
So if you're a little bit, you're listening to this thinking, actually, it's really got me thinking, but I don't know how I would make that first approach. I'm new in, or my role is new, or I'm not feeling particularly confident right now. Actually, just kind of calling it out and saying, shall we have a conversation about how we can collaborate on this? Most people will agree to that, because we all deep down know collaboration is the way forward, because what got us here might not necessarily get us ahead. We need to work with each other in fresh and innovative ways. So in terms of the confidence to collaborate, just calling it collaboration will also give you confidence in that moment to approach someone, and someone else to have the confidence to put time in their diary to have that. That's not getting in the way of work. It's not dossing around. It's not being low value. Collaboration is going to be the way in which we enable high value, right choices to be made in terms of how we spend our time.
Yeah, and I think that sort of links nicely into my call to action, as we, you know, as you always say, is I think if you're going to think about what can I collaborate with somebody else on, give yourself that time to think about it. Don't do it on your own, because it's much more fun anyway to speak to somebody else and riff off some of their ideas and go with the vibe on what they're doing. But I think going in with that open mindset, I think it's having that mutual respect for others and what they can bring and what you'll learn from them, I think. So, stop and think about, is this something I can collaborate with somebody else on? We're both going to learn from each other. There is both a sense of purpose and there's a sense of happiness that comes out of that when you see the end result. So why would you not collaborate with somebody else? Why would you not do that, Laura?
I love it, Debs. Why would you not? What would be a classic coaching question here? What's stopping you from collaborating?
What's stopping you? Absolutely. What is stopping you, and how are you going to overcome that?
Oh, love it. And my share of the secret would be, think of a project that you're working on at the moment, or you think that is ahead on the horizon, and what might be really useful right now to start engaging and interacting with someone, so you can then think about that collaboration opportunity. So who is that person that you can then share the secret with? Get them to listen to this. It's a reminder of the power of collaboration, all within this month's focus on confidence. And Debs, I am really looking forward to next week's episode. Is it safe to go back into the water? It's all very well talking about being confident, but next week is going to be focusing on what are all the things that can get in our way, that can lurk around us beneath the waterline, that can impact our ability to feel confident in that moment. So the first episode in this month has been about how to boost our levels of inner confidence. Today has been all about, what does that mean in terms of having the confidence to collaborate? Next week, we'll be focusing on particularly what are some of the things that can trip us and trap us in terms of impacting our levels of confidence. So really looking forward to that. So in the meantime, have a gorgeous, collaborative, sunshine-filled week ahead, Debs.
You too, Laura. And I look forward to that one next week. Absolutely. Bring it on.
Bring it on. Can't wait. Love you. Bye. Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at secretsfromacoach@aol.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you're a Spotify listener, give us a rating, as it makes it easier for us to share the secret with others.